Good evening, everyone, and welcome
to another issue
of The Summoner. I am your host and writer, Walter Pierce. My website is galleryofthemind.com. Please check it out if you have the time. Also, if you want to contact me, my email address is webmaster@galleryofthemind.com. Again, that's webmaster@galleryofthemind.com. All right, on with the show.
This is the story of a group called the Warriors. They are blessed by the ancestors. The ancestors' light shines through them as a power of light. The light, the shine, can be varied a bit, which slightly changes the power. The Warriors use their power to protect their people on the planet Artonia in the Yellow Realm. Their tales are spellbinding adventures just beyond the reach of even imagination. Among these warriors is one even more unique. He is unique because he is half human. He is called the Summoner, and these are his tales.
Issue 76, Everything You Want to Know. Times are bad in the Green Realm, and specifically on the planet Reba. Threats of civil war have erupted in all of the great cities of Reba. There are protests everywhere. The people are crying out. They want to know why so many things are happening that would make them vulnerable to the Dark Ones. Their leader has now invited the Dark Ones to come to their planet and speak. The first great general, the leader of the known Reba, is now telling people not to worry. He is telling them that soon he will tell them everything they want to know. A group of ships is now entering their solar system with the leader of the Dark Ones on board, the one that is known as the Bearer of the Dark. It is their great leader, Pagal. Pagal is a little different from the other Dark Ones. He is like a queen ant. He can give birth to darkness. Most of the Dark Ones multiply themselves when they are in the presence of dark emotions, but Pagal can send them out at will. It is a gift from the Hidden One. He does not often go to a planet, but when he does, that planet fails. It falls and becomes a major stronghold for the Dark Ones. And now, he has arrived. In a totally different place in the Green Realm, there is a ship named Badana. She is the last ship of a great people that have almost completely been wiped out. Badana herself is a sentient ship composed of many sentient personalities. Badana has no real crew now. The former crew she had left her as she conducted repairs. Now she has many robots and mostly holograms manning her. Creating these is something she has used to keep herself busy. Some of the holograms are actually her personalities, while others are personalities of her former crew. All of them are semi-sentient and are based upon information stored in Badana's database. Badana is currently monitoring the vital signs of Kelly. Kelly came on board kind of sick, but that is not why Badana is monitoring her. Kelly is just asleep. Badana has been anxiously awaiting Kelly to wake up. Badana is happy to deliver the news that she has located Michael again. It seems like an eternity, but finally, Kelly awakens. Badana feels her movements. She senses the lights come on. She hears the deep breath of her yawn. It is time to greet her.
I have good news.
Good morning, Badana. Well, you are excited today.
And you will be too. I have three things to tell you.
Kelly begins to smile as she senses that Michael is one of them.
Tell me what I want to know.
I have received information from the holograms work. I have nearly completed the necessary calculations to close the rift in the Green Realm.
That is good news. And it was quick.
Not so quick. I am a single ship. My ability to calculate.
Kelly is bursting to find out what the rest of the information is. Specifically, she is excited about the information she knows is on Michael.
Okay, that is great. Is there news on Michael?
Maybe.
Madonna answers in a very teasing way.
Is it good?
Yes.
Come on, Madonna, come on. Tell me everything I want to know.
He's alive.
Let's go there, let's go. I will get dressed. Thanks for the news, and finding him, and the clothes, and just thank you for everything.
Elsewhere, Michael is alive, but his day is not going well. He may not be alive for long. He was flying along on the back of a bat holding the body of the summoner when some of the Dark Ones shot the bat. The bat crashed to the ground. The masses of bats hid the location of the crash. So now, Michael is sore and exposed, sitting on the ground next to a dying bat holding the body of a comatose summoner. Come on, buddy. Wake up, and we can get out of here. I wish I could do something for this bat.
Wah! Wah! Wah!
Periodically, the bat pitifully moans. Summoner, can you hear me? There is no sign that he does. If you can hear me, can you bring more bats to here to help this one?
Wah! Wah! Wah!
Like magic, a couple of bats land next to the whining bat. I'm not sure you heard me, but it looks like help has arrived. The bats begin to whine with the wounded bat. They then position themselves to pick the bat up, and other bats come too. Then they carry the bat away. Summoner, if you can hear me, can you bring more bats here to help us? The summoner seems to be coming to consciousness. Well, I guess that isn't going to happen. Through the darkness, that is this place. The sounds of approaching horses can be heard. I won't leave you. I will never leave a warrior again. He lifts up the summoner and begins to run. Back with the first great general, a fleet of the Dark Ones ships have arrived. In a young city, not quite a great city yet, a place for a speech to be made by the first great general has been set up. Rowdy crowds have joined. They are in a state of wait and see, cowed by the soldiers with their weapons. There's also a sense of curiosity as to what the Dark Ones are. And there is especially a curiosity about the leader of the Dark Ones. The rumors are out that he is here to tell the people everything they need to know. The first great general starts the speeches. He tells the people how the Dark Ones are not warlike and that they do not want war with the great people of Reba. They want to be allies. They do require that the biogenetic temporal bombs no longer be produced. He explains that the power of the bombs is so great it affects the places that they come from. The crowd is not buying it. They cry out with questions like, why did the Dark Ones attack them?
We affected their home. It was like exploding bombs in their home. They came to defend it.
They defended it?
by putting disease in our cities and blowing up our cities and killing our people.
We kill their people first.
I think they want something from us. They possessed our bodies.
They have said that they want peace.
Why should we trust them now?
Because they are here to calm your fears. They have sent their greatest leader.
The crowd is getting more and more uneasy and loud. Some are angry that their people have been killed. The first great general tries to talk, but he is getting shouted down. This ends with the high guard for Pagal walking out onto the stage. Then the guards part, and there stands Pagal. The people expect a conciliatory speech from Pagal, but that is not what they get.
I am here to tell you everything you want to know. You are afraid of us. I can feel your fear, and it makes me stronger. I can feel your hatred, and it feeds my hunger. You want to know if we will live up to our word and honor peace with you. You want to know whether we will stop our possession of your bodies. The answer to all these questions is simply no.
The crowd goes wild with anger, and raucous boos fill the area. The guards smile with the chaos, and so does Pagal. The politicians present just look on bewildered. Pagal and the guards begin to glow darkness as they whip the crowd into a frenzy. Some violence starts to break out. The guards begin to laugh. Everything builds up. And then Pagal shouts,
"The darkness shall be extended. Here is everything you need to know."
A cloud of darkness exudes from Pagal's body. A wave of fear goes through the crowd. Then there are screams of horror. And the only response is that the cloud darkens. Then red eyes appear in the darkness, and they descend upon the crowd, possessing whoever they can. Back with Michael. The horses have seemingly gotten Michael's scent. Horses don't follow scents, but Michael feels like they can. He cannot shake them. He wonders if they can smell his shine. As he runs, he feels water splash against his feet. He notices that he is at the edge of a dark lake. The horses are behind, and the lake is ahead. He cannot swim with the summoner. What is going on? Why hasn't the summoner come out of this stupor yet? I've got to stop talking to myself. I have to figure something out. I can't go forward. And I can't go back. What? The entire lake rises with two red eyes forming inside it. It is like a giant dark one. I guess this is a dark one. Only one choice. I've got to shine. At least try. And so he does. He shines. Michael feels pain through his body. This place seems to be draining him, imperceptibly draining him. The entire thing freezes. The entire thing that raises out of the lake, it freezes. What in the world? I have never seen anything like this. As he marvels at the towering thing, the horses arrive. Michael turns around and sees that the horsemen have surrounded him. Michael tries to shine, but he cannot. He drops the summoner and falls to his knees exhausted. One of the horsemen fires a living black rope. It wraps around Michael, so that he cannot move. Then he hears the words that he has heard so many times in his past. He cannot quite translate them, but he is sure that they mean something to the effect of, "Possess them." Some of the horsemen ride forward to do just that. Then they stop and they look around, bewildered. Michael can't understand their language fully, but he can tell that they don't know where Michael went. Since he has gone nowhere, he understands that somehow they cannot see him. Then his eyes perk up as he sees what appears to be a dream. It is Kelly.
"You can't get him anymore, so come and get me."
She fires some type of ray gun, but the weapon seems ineffectual against the darkness. Kelly turns and runs, and the horsemen go off after her. Next time, the Blue Ant Queen.